This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Bye. time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol. The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. We have a bad voice here today. Got worse as I got to the station, so we'll try to have Marcia Joyner on the line, so we'll talk to her. Marcia, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Well, I called to listen to you. So there. What happened to your voice?
I swallowed a frog on the way here.
Oh, poor
and
frog.
He jumped all over my vocal cords.
Oh, the poor frog. Oh, dear.
I can't even say rub it.
Are you going to make it through this morning?
This is a free speech station, and it didn't say how we speak or how we say. Yeah, so what do you have?
Well, I called to listen to you, so what do you have? How's that? It's your show I call. You know, I call to listen in.
Well, a couple of things. The homeless issue is obviously, I was a little insulted with that the images that were there. But, and you see the same names, and the paper failed to take Colin Kippen and the other shysters responsible for the failure, and that's what it is, a policy that's failed on
it
homelessness.
It is, and they failed to look at all of the causes of homelessness.
Right.
And, you know, it's easy to say, oh, they're druggy or mental illness or those kind of things. But when you have families that are working, and of course, you know, I'm going with minimum wage. When you have people working three jobs at minimum wage, they can't pay $1,400 a month for rent. They can't buy food and medicine.
Well, I'd like to see if we could cut Colin Kippen's salary and the other folks. And everyone that's running people around in the parks, and remember Hanneman, and everyone had a strategy.
Oh, strategies, yes. Real stuff, real action, no. Everybody's got an opinion, everybody's got something, but no real action.
Mm-hmm, yeah. But that is what's happening. It's shameful.
It is.
And my comments to the people that live in Canada, well, then just stay there if this is unsightly. We have issues here, real issues, and we're not on vacation. This is our life. This is
real people live here.
Right. And sorry that you, it's not pristine and snowman laying around on the beach, but we live in a real world here.
Well, if you look at the ads that the tourism people spend our dollars on, they are all make-believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't look like that. We don't live like that.
Yeah.
They have built all of the, right up to the water's edge. There's nothing left on Oahu that looks like the ads they. So, of course, these people are disappointed when they get here.
Well,
of course they are. They sold them something that it doesn't exist.
And do we want to continue to entertain at the expense of the real people here, the population? But it's a failed policies that the mayor has, the governor has, the tourism bureau has. That's what it's about. When in the newspapers, they keep giving an audience to Colin Kippen, U.S. vets, and all of those people that suck up lots of money and really no accounting. That's what the problem is. It's not the guy who lie on the beach. It's not the person who goes to the bathroom on the sidewalk. We could have programs where you put porta potties.
Well, the, what is her name, Carol Fukunaga? Chinatown is her district. She has lots of meetings, but nothing comes out of them. Nothing.
Yeah.
Just meetings. And that's her district, Chinatown, downtown.
Yeah.
And no, like you say, no porta potties, no nothing.
Yeah, well,
Just meetings.
Well, the article really drives home the wrong point, but hold on, let's...
You got somebody in?
Hold on.
Good.
Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comments or question.
Hi, Carol. Yeah, I have all kinds of good comments and stuff. You know, I think anybody that can make laws against homelessness, you know, I can't consider them a human being, you know, or laws even consider, I mean, like defecation and that kind of stuff. I mean, or giving any kind of alternative for people, except a warehouse to put human beings in that was so corrupted and so abusive, and from what I understand, that place is still not doing much of anything for anybody, you know. And that next step shelter, and it's just so outrageous the way they demonize and treat people without homes. Let's not even call them homeless, because when you're homeless, that means less than a human being, less than a home. That means you're less than a human being. I mean that the connotation is there, and unfortunately, I've been on the advertiser's case for at least a year or so with what's his name, Ed Lynch, the editorial fellow.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, listen, every time you put homeless man robs home, wait, this is not a homeless person, this is a human being, and what you're doing is you're stereotyping them. You might as well call them the N people, the H people, you know, mm-hmm. the HL people. The people that don't, you know, you might as well just say the same thing, because that's what you're doing. And then everybody thinks, oh, well, if you don't have a home, if you don't have a home to go to, you're up to no good.
Mm-hmm.
And most of these folks are they're on just terribly hard times.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have I'm glad you mentioned Mr. Kippen. I mean, this fella, I have a perfect solution for this at an affordable price for the state. These tiny homes, Dignity Villages, like they have up in Portland, Oregon, when they donate the land, the city donated the land, so these people could live on, and they're even self-governing, you know? But Mr. Kippen, this has been almost a year now. I wrote a whole series of letters to him, and I had a lot of questions. Not a word. I see him every month at we have this thing at the state capitol. Matter of fact, your people might want to go there. The next meeting will be, I think it's the first Monday of the month, and it will be the first Monday in May, and they have a. The homeless working group, and here's another thing: what they do, like you said, is they get all these experts. What's that fellow, Mr. Vincent, Connie Mitchell from the IHS, Mr. Kippen, and these other ones. Mr. Kippen has this group called the Interagency Council on Homelessness. These are all the people that are supposed to be the experts that are supposed to be smart. Supposed to have all these degrees and know what to do, but nothing gets done. And as homeless folks, we start speaking out. They get offended at us, you know. That we're trying to tell them what to do, even though we know exactly what needs to be done. We know exactly what we mean. We need affordable housing. We need a private place to be at where we can maybe defecate to and urinate. And actually get our dignity back.
Yeah.
A lot of these people are. What's happening? happened to them, they become psychological cases because of having to endure being without a home for years on end. I've seen way too many people that even took their life because they couldn't stand it anymore, being out in the harassment and everything else.
Hold that thought. Dave, hold that thought for a minute. Let me get the other caller, all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Caller, good morning. Go ahead. Your comment or question.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, lucky thing you never swallowed one horse. Just one frog. I hope it was on cookie, one small one.
Yeah.
So you can kick that frog out. You did.
Yep.
Anyway, follow military, go home. Like I said on the previous show, can you imagine how many homes on military bases would be available for people that live on the beach?
Well, there were lots and lots of properties left when, for example, Barbara's Point, and our state agencies and federal agencies let those houses and DHHL and all go to ruins. And I think, and I'm just incensed about the fact that the paper would play with our emotions and post a person laying on the beach. The reality is it's a policy that has failed, and administrations, plural, that have never worked, and we don't take them to task. That's the bottom line. It's,
you know, history can repeat itself. Because when the earlier military left their quarters and their homes, like in Palolo, Camford Housing, NHA 3, Halava, they were occupied by the people. I remember back in the 50s and the 40s, not so much the 40s, but in the 50s, when we used to go Palolo Housing, and they say, oh, this used to be military. When you go up Palola Housing and you're on Palola Ave on the St. Louis Hikes, on the St. Louis Hikes side of the valley, get New Jersey. What's New Jersey doing in Palolo? That's named after a ship, the New Jersey. So what does that tell me? Was the Navy up there? Camford Housing up in Killeen, that used to be military too. And then the one up by Shafter, just around the corner from School Street, that was military also. And many others. They tore down Halava so that they could build Halava Stadium. And
right.
That's when the homeless started to arrive. Our people were destitute, and there was families living with families upon families. But then again, that's not white style anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, small house, big family, everybody sleep on the floor.
Yeah. Hold on one second. Caller, go ahead. Comment or question?
Hello?
Go ahead with your comment.
Oh, hi, this is Homeless Denise. As far as Barbara's Point goes, let's talk to Chelsea Gavitt, whose father lives back there in a white picket fence, you know, to let all that go to waste.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea Gavitt's father living in a white picket fence right behind the paintball area.
Mm-hmm.
I found amazing. To be homeless, the reason why they keep picking on homelessness, those that are good, is to try and steal their dignity. I've got my dignity. Every time I beat those lying cops in court, it made me stronger. Each day they see me, I don't know if they want to further lie about me or to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the money that you robbed from me and put me back on my path.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one who called the cops when my former landlord's 30-something-year-old son put his hands on me. Totally ignored it. Oh, and you must be, you're renting a room. Well, this homeless woman owned multiple properties.
Marcia.
Yes.
Is there anything you think you could reach
out? No, go. Go talk to her.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hello.
Marcia.
Yes.
Is there anything you could offer to the caller, Denise?
Tell me more. What can we do?
I've been trying to get back home. I've got a baby at home who's been waiting for me to get home to her. I haven't seen my baby in 30 years, and it's lying top.
Well, tell her what the problem is, Denise.
I'm out here in my Jeep Grand Cherokee. I'm in Lacoa. You know, I can't even. Homeless programs. I went to one spot.
Oh, good.
You know, men are. They don't control their men.
Was that both of them together? But this is not that hot at all. That's weird. Interesting.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, cops just. I've got to go to court tomorrow. On crap. Excuse my language. The cop who wrote me the ticket said if my boss had done his job, I wouldn't be writing you these tickets. Mm-hmm. I still have to take what little money I have and answer those false charges.
Okay, we can work your case out on over the
I know.
Air,
oh no, okay. No, I've got that covered. That's
yeah,
covered.
Okay.
That's covered. It's just that I can't get ahead. Each time I try and save money, I got to go to court.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like they're looking at my account.
Well,
I can't work because of the lies, false charge of harassment and assault. Somebody
okay.
does a background check on me, and those are the lies that pop up. They lied about me. It's my responsibility to clean up their mess.
Mm-hmm.
If it were a citizen that levied these charges, false charges against me.
And are you saying it's happening because you're homeless? Or?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Homeless, a woman. You know, if they were the Klan, they would have hit a jackpot. That there's a Klan. They've hit the jackpot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you.
Oh, that's awful. That is just so bad. But you know, I hate to say this because, you know, she is a human being and she should not be subject to this. But we see them harassing the homeless, not just the police, but the legislators, the city council, that whole mentality, the tourists. They are constantly harassing these people as if it's their fault that they're living like that. No one wants to live like that. No one wants to be treated like that.
But how do we talk?
It's systemic, is that the right word?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now, that's why we got to, how do we combat this? How do we say these are real people, real human beings? They are somebody's mother and father and sister and brother. This whole mentality of treating people less than, and in especially on a day like today, with Easter, that all the Christians celebrate Good Friday, everybody took the day off, even though they're not Catholic, to go shopping, of course. And yet, and in the Bible, Jesus, the person we're celebrating today,
I thought it was the Easter Bunny.
Oh. Well, that's okay. I never did figure out how bunnies have eggs.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how the rabbit worked himself into
yeah.
this picture.
But anyway, but Jesus says, if you do this to the least of them, you do it for me. So why the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Jews, the Christians, the Muslims, the Buddhists, all talk about taking care of the poor, feeding the homeless, curing the sick. Yet we as a quote, nation, civilized nation, do none of that.
But we do it for the evening news.
Yeah.
And photo opportunity.
And but we don't care for the people that we should be caring for. And even with the churches, they donate, they tithe, they say, And so that the preacher lives well, and you know, everybody dresses up and goes to church to show off. But where is the God in all of this, that we take care of the least of us, that we take care of people like Denise and your other callers?
It's in the God we trust on the back of the dollar bill.
They don't turn it over. They don't look at "In God We Trust." They just look at the front part of the bill.
Yeah.
It just breaks my heart to listen to this and to see what is being done. A president of the Senate, her war chest is huge. She has so much money in her. At least, what, I don't know how much she has today, but when she filed, which was, what, the first of the month, she was huge amount of money. I think Donna Kim had $254,448.51. And Sylvia Luke, $73,738. And they're the ones that make the decisions about a minimum wage, $7 an hour.
Right.
They have no concept of people living on that kind of money. They don't have an idea what's going on with the real world.
They did at one time, but they forgot it along the way.
They forgot. They don't know that people like Denise have a soul, have a heart, have a family. They don't know that. They had looked the other way.
I'd like to see the amount of money Donna McCarter Kim did not declare. The one she gets from Jeff Stone and all of that. That relationship.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I would like to see. Hold on. Good morning, caller. Go ahead. Comment a question.
Yeah, first-time caller. Do you all ever discuss religion, God?
Yeah, we do when we're having fun, but right now we're not having fun. We're worried about people that are having no shelter and things of that nature.
Yeah, but wait, it's Easter.
Pardon me?
It's Easter.
Well, then have a good day and enjoy. That's all I could say to you. It's no problem. I have no...
But this,
what can I do to help you enjoy it?
Well, this is something that everybody should hear.
Well...
know about.
Go ahead and tell us what we should hear.
Well, when you read in the Bible about resurrection, that
okay.
there was an angel that came from heaven and there was a mighty earthquake
okay.
and went down and rolled a stone away and sat on it. Well, at the second coming, we're told that when Christ comes back, he's coming back with all of the angels. And the number is 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands.
When does a rabbit show up in this?
What kind of an earthquake are we talking about?
Well, listen, sir.
Play tectonics.
That is exactly what we're talking about. Precisely what we're talking about. All of the things you just said, if we put it into practice, we would be taking care of the people that are living on the street. We would be taken care of in God's name. And
happy Easter, Uncle.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
We need a big uncle.
Hello.
On the computer.
You're like me. Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes, chaos.
So I'm saying that should we, if we really believe in today, in the resurrection, if we really believe this, as a nation, we say we are a Christian, if we really believed, we would be taking care of the least of these, because that is what Jesus said. If you take care of the least of these, you do it in my name. And if we really believed, if we did, and I do, that we would be doing better by the least of these. So, thank you so much. Thank you so much for introducing that. And that is, but we're not doing what Jesus said to do. We are not doing what Moses said.
No, answer.
We are not doing the things that all of the prophets in all of the religions across the world have said, without exception. But we're not doing it. We should, if we were doing it, if we were living up to the resurrection of what today is supposed to mean, we would not have people living on the beach. We would not have hungry children going to sleep at night. If we believed, if we acted upon the very thing you're calling about. You're right. There's all of this is what is being said. But what is being done? What are you doing for the least of these? What are you doing? How can you look at the front page of today's paper and not be hurt to your very soul that people walk by, play around this homeless person, and not feel something? If we are going to make today worthwhile, No. Don't go there. Do not say it's their fault. It is our fault. We have let it down. We, those of us that can and don't, we have let them down.
The most correct answer is that if one angel caused a mighty earthquake over 2,014 years ago at the resurrection of Christ, then what kind of an earthquake are we talking about? At the second coming, which you got over 100 million.
No.
Hold on, Marshall. Let Reverend Ikes finish.
And that's the question.
The question is, what are we doing now? How are we fulfilling God's promise? God said on the sixth day he rested, so we were to create the rest of this. We have done a poor job, a very poor job, as stewards of the land. We have in Genesis it says we are the stewards of the land.
Yeah.
Look at how we have poisoned the land. Look at how we have overbuilt the land. The ocean is dying because of what
you're
doing.
I am not.
Marsha.
You're right. I'm not listening.
Hold on. Go ahead. What's your name anyway, sir?
Andy.
Go ahead, Andy, real quick. We got another caller.
The answer is that we're talking about an earthquake that's so bad, it's just like creation in reverse.
Okay.
The people who are not ready, they're going to die.
Okay. So we're going to hurry them along the way to heaven, huh?
Uh-huh.
But anyway, hold on. Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comments.
Oh, boy. What a discussion you got today. Anyway, you know, Hawaiians were very good stewards of the land. There was no homeless in old Hawaii. When our ancestors arrived, they took everything that was present before them, and they thanked the Lord Akua for all the gifts that was there, and they made one paradise. It looks and smells like hell today. There's people all over the world that wants to come to Hawaii and see what aloha is all about. But it's not like it was when our ancestors were in charge. The only reason why it's like this today is because we're not in charge. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get the charge back. And that's the reason why there's so much discussion in the Hawaiian community about building up. Well, it really should be rebuilding the nation. Not building the nation. It should be rebuilding the nation. Take that which our ancestors did to build the nation. They built it. They built it. Now it's up to us, knowing what the Kuhe and what our ancestors were all about when they signed the document not to be annexed to the United States. And now that we know that, we have to rebuild the nation. Anyway, give me a call later on. We got a tough story.
Aloha. Thanks.
Aloha.
Caller, go ahead. Sorry about the voice.
Aloha.
Go ahead, caller.
He is absolutely correct. All the indigenous people on all their islands and all their countries understood that they were stewards of the land. They understood that. And they did a great job. And then one day, who knows what happened and when or why that has turned into this. So he's right. The Hawaiians have to rebuild. But we all need to rebuild. We all need to rethink this land. The ocean that we in Hawaii depend on, live on, is dying. And when it's gone, we're all gone. We need to rethink that. Look at the crap that they put in the ocean, and it's killing the fish. Look at you go to Waikiki and it smells like suntan lotion. You know, it's like, this is just we just do not care for the land.
Hold on. Caller, good morning. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I'm calling from Waianae. I'm unable to listen to your station, but I had a girlfriend give me a call and asked her to give you a call. And she said that you were talking about homelessness.
Turn down your radio in the background, please.
I don't have a radio on.
Something is echoing.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I'm not sure what to do, but I'm asking from Waianae. And we do have houseless out here. We have a lot of children, you know, sleeping under the trees out here. And I'm also a Hawaiian homesteader, and I'm really opposed to, there's going to be evictions of 160 people, and I see them, you know, turning into future homelessness, and it'll be 160 families on Hawaiian homestead, and I don't think this is correct. I think that they should do everything they can to keep the homesteaders in their homes instead of turning them into homelessness. Or, you know, going out there and trying to get services from welfare on the welfare system. And, you know, and using up all those services.
Mm-hmm. And
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
And they would be self-sufficient, you know, as they are. They just, you know, these are hard times for Hawaiians and for everyone else. So I just feel that Department of Hawaiian Homes or the governor should not be evicting 160 families from Hawaiian homestead.
May I ask why they were evicted?
They're being evicted because a while back there was this whole thing about equity, and which, you know, we own our homes, but we don't, our houses, but we don't own the land under our homes. So for a while back, they had put in equity, and then they did bundling, and then before you know it, you know, the process is there. A lot of them are under HUD, and there is really no process to, you know, the workout that they do for HUD residents, you know, mortgages and stuff. That's non-existent on Hawaiian homestead. So that is the problem. But there are other reasons, political reasons, why they're evicting 160 people. It's just the beginning. It leaves a hole in the net. Because we're pretty much in a collective, you know, where, you know, Hawaiians are 50% blood quantum, so therefore we're kind of a likeness group, you know, with Hawaiian ancestry. So, you know, there's a lot to be concerned about.
Who made the decision? I'm sorry. What is the reason that they gave for evicting people? This makes no sense to me, but okay.
It doesn't. It doesn't make any sense to me either, because there are solutions rather than eviction. There are, you know, over time, the whatever reasons why they're evicting people. You know, they've done it because before, like Kahale Smith, over in Anahola, and he was saying that he had substandard housing, it needed to be repaired, and the DHHL, you know, Department of Hawaiian Homes wasn't listening, so they came in with guns, you know, and they've done that to the crime.
With guns?
Oh,
with
yeah,
guns?
With guns. They come with guns all of the time, you know.
Oh.
There's going to be an eviction on that, as a matter of fact, tomorrow, up at my homestead, which is in Waianae. And it's near the park, on the corner of the park, and this family's been there since 1978. And So it's the norm.
In the meantime, Mules on TV yesterday at Turtle Bay with Keep Country Country and all of that, and he was right at home. But, boy, I wonder what he'd look like out there in Waianae explaining to the people. And what agencies are taking these actions?
Would be the deputy attorney's office, because he's part of it.
What agency, though? There's agencies when the land... The deputy attorney general just represent that agency of the state.
He represents the state.
But what agency is taking these actions to seek assistance? Who is the attorney general acting on behalf? Which agency?
Department of Hawaiian Homeland.
Oh. Why did I suspect that?
You know, I don't, Hawaiians doing this to Hawaiians. We complain about what the Americans are doing, but Hawaiians doing this to Hawaiians is...
Let's put a name on these things. Hawaiians doing Hawaiian. That's not all Hawaiians screw one another.
No.
Let's go back and look at the Ostenders, the Malama Solomons, the Clayton Hees, who sat there and approved Joby Masagatani. Let's put names. It's one thing to say they, but let's...
I'm keeping it as general.
If you're being treated unjustly,
the names are good, and yes, they are aware. Their place in his office is aware because I called his office.
I understand that.
160 people are going to be evicted.
I understand that.
He has his own, feedback. His own. Opinion about it. Joby, of course, is next to the deputy attorney at any commission board meeting.
Okay.
And he's sitting there agreeing with her, like a puppet.
Okay.
And she's pulling his strings. But then, of course, there's also other things that's going on with Joby and the deputy attorney's office, which is something that is off to the side, like the BLNR. DLNR wants rights to the geothermal. So you can see that, if you want specifics, I can give it to
you.
In this
specific...
You can handle it,
Yeah, I can handle it. But the point is, that when you say there's a mass eviction, and I'm saying to remind you... Allow me to finish you. Okay. My point that I was attempting to stress is that how did we get to this mass eviction? I'm submitting to you, and sure.
Okay, let me know when you're done.
No, just listen, and you'll know. What I was attempting to say to you is that we saw this coming when Neil Abercrombie appointed Joby, and I was just saying. In that, the number of people that came in and supported her, all of these faces, and prominent people in the community, where are they now when there's a real problem? Why is it that the 160 or so having to appeal to the general public, when in fact these same people that propped her up and supported her should be sensitive enough or avail themselves to act? If it's such an injustice, that's all I was saying. Where are they then? Or where are they now?
What is the basis for eviction?
Thank you for asking that question. The basis for eviction, when I check the families when they're being that are being evicted, and I look at the paperwork, it's actually, like I said earlier, it's equity. It's a whole new behavior on Hawaiian Homestead. Equity to bring in the bankers into the forefront, into their computers and into their mindset and into the department. It's about bankers. It's about bundling. It's about confusion as to what type of mortgages that are there, and then there's also lease cancellations only because. There's no communication between the department as well as the lessees. That's the problem. If there was communication, then there would be a workup.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have my voice today to share with you extensively, but go to the webpage, DHHL. Look at their webpage. And what you'll find is, in the agenda for the Molokai meeting of the Hawaiian Homelands Commission, and you will find that they are attempting to have the commission ratify ratification of defaults and revocations statewide, ratification of actions taken by chairman, Hawaiian Homes Commission, statewide. And what they're doing, basically, they've been inflicting injury on the people, the beneficiaries, without any rules or any true guidelines that have been ratified, and now they want to go back and be approved on the damage that they've done. That's where the fight is. That's why I say, where are those bourgeois folks that showed up to nominate her and support her and sit there as a senator? He may have his own strategy, but why is this, are you playing catch-up when the legislators do nothing, when the commission will sit there, and they will be the one now, the commissioners, will be the one to vote on this agenda item of 5-6. You follow that?
I understand what you're saying, and it's good for the audience to know that they can go to the Department of Hawaiian Homes website and do their homework. And it's important. There's an assumption there that Jovi is doing a good job. Therefore, they don't really need to, question her. So, however, what I want to say here at this point, having listened to you and, to the audience that is out there, yes, but you need to make a distinction about lease cancellation, number one, as leasees, with 50% plus blood quantum, and you have to make a distinction with revocable permit on general leases. When you make those two distinctions, you will see that there was, and you can see it on YouTube, because I filmed it for, it was about 2.5 hours. You can see Joby making a deal with the auditor and the Senate. This is about a year ago. So it's on YouTube. And you can do that. And then you can also go to the Kahana family and see that on YouTube and see how they were evicted, how the grandson is explaining how the eviction came down. You can also go to the Rogers family in Waianae, their eviction that is coming up tomorrow. So, you want to put a face to everything.
It isn't as if
that this leasee is talking right now on this radio show that hasn't done her homework. Trust me, I have done my homework. I grew up on Hawaiian Homestead, and I'm now on Hawaiian Homestead, D.C. There is a lot of things that are factors that are out there, the variables that are out there. And if you can just kind of focus on the distinction between revocable permits for general leases, commercial leases, then you can also focus on why it is that they're, like you said, I agree with you that they're coming in and oppressing our people and picking on the successorship, because the Rogers family is the successor, whereas the Kaihana family were the elders.
Yeah.
So,
well,
so they're, not communicating with the elders, not communicating with the successors. They're just going and having that 120 days, go by.
Right.
And then having a eviction notice sent out, a bogus eviction notice sent out, and then coming in with enforcement.
Let me ask you. That's the truth. Hold on. What would you like to have the listeners do? You called in. What
call
specific
me,
point?
Call
hold on.
You asked me the question, and I'm answering.
You're at odds with the wrong people. If you would just be patient with me, I'm only trying to embrace your cause. I share your pain.
If you would, because sitting here,
I know a great bit about it. But the listeners who you're appealing to, just tell them the story. I can submit to you right now that ratification that I spoke of is critical. You grab hold of that and ask, what do you mean you want to...
You can use the word ratification.
I'm not using anything. I'm just repeating.
I mean, you can define it.
Listen.
And however, the people that need to understand that, you know, in the educational process, don't really get the word ratification.
Well, maybe we can...
eviction.
We can explain that.
In a simple call.
Okay.
To their senators, to their representatives.
And do what? And
stop
do what?
The evictions on Hawaiian homestead for those of us who are 50% less blood quantum.
Well,
now, if you take a metaphor and you take a look.
Go ahead, Marcia.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
So you want them to call the senators on the Hawaiian community?
We lost her. Go ahead. Maybe I'll call back.
Okay.
And we're down to the last minute anyway. We'll pick it up next hour.
Okay.
But my point is, in this document, the agenda, the ratification is one of the items Land Management Division has submitted. So in essence, what they're saying is that we've been operating under these practices, by these guidelines, and we've made decisions, and we now want the commission to ratify them. You would think the laws and all would be codified and everything would be in place and they would have been operating in that vein, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think she understood and calling in and Uncle Joe is, if you're listening next hour, if you could call in and tell us about this ratification and what will the commission do and are we putting too much emphasis on this word ratification? But it's simply right here, F5, ratification of defaults and revocation statewide. Ratification of actions taken by chairman. Hawaiian Homes Commission, statewide. That, why would one want to ratify something that is they've already taken actions? Why didn't they put the laws and rules in
place? In hindsight, so they cover their ass as well.
Yeah, exactly. So if the listener or the call out there, I don't know, I felt that I was tug of war with someone that I love dearly. I mean, it's an injustice that we see every day.
It is. And it goes back to exactly what we were saying about doing for the least of us.
Right.
We aren't doing that. We aren't good stewards.
Well,
This
is a very specific point.
It is very specific. Very. It is a classic example of, you know, so 160 families, where are they going?
Well, we'll be back in the next hour. I'm going to rest my voice for a minute.
Yes, please.
And thank you. This is the Carol Cox Show.
I'll talk to you soon.
How many of
you can
have
call
the
back.
Program? Look at your program and you see Hawaii Aloha. Let's do Hawaii Aloha for the last song. Let's all do Hawaii Aloha. You know, Hawaii Aloha was written by Reverend Lorenzo Lyons. And he wrote this song about 1852. And he wrote this about on the occasion of the departure of some first Hawaiian missionaries to the South Pacific. And when he wrote this song, he wrote three verses. But we only sing one. And the chorus, Reverend Lyons, he loved Hawaii. And he built the Imeola Church. He requested that when he died, his body be wrapped in the Hawaiian flag and buried. That was his wish, and so be it, he was. The song says, E Hawaii e ku'u'one, hanau e ku'uhome kula iwi ne. He says, O Hawaii, the land of my birth, my native home is Olinova ina pono laniau. E Hawaii aloha e. He said, I rejoice in the blessings of heaven. And then the chorus, E hau oli, he says, happy youth of Hawaii, he says, rejoice. He said, rejoice for the gentle breezes blow. He said, love always for Hawaii. And these gentle breezes is the love.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.
Ehai mai ko maukine, says, may your divine throng speak, your loving people, O Hawaii, says, the holy light from above, O Hawaii, aloha. And then the third verse is, Nā keakua e malama maia oe. He says, God protect you, your beloved ridges, your ever-glistening streams, your beautiful flower gardens. O Hawaii, he said. And he wrote this, and I'm sure that when Reverend Lyons wrote this song, that he meant for us to sing every verse. Everybody sing. Bailan.
Te ke aloha e maliu mai o.
If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol. The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. I do apologize for the voice, but we'll try to hang in there. Feel free to call back. Dave Connell was on, and we couldn't get back with him. So, and Uncle Joe, if you're out there and still listening, I'd like to run something by you on this, the agenda that is out there for DHHL, Hawaiian Homelands. But just talking about last week's topics, taking up from where we left, Kalailoa, or that's DHHL land, Tuolato land, and the lady, I guess Denise called and mentioned the white picket fence. Senator Gabbard was able to acquire, I guess through Hunt Development or Hunt Corporation, land, one of the homes out there that is available, and he was able to rent it, or I don't know. But anyway, a lot of people get special deals. I don't have any sweetheart deals. I'd like to have one, but a little white picket fences and all. But, you know, I told you about George Grace. We've been talking about the racetrack and owned by Hawaiian Homelands, the land is. George Grace filed a lawsuit. He's acting pro se. And Mr. Grace has filed this lawsuit against Ward K. Young and Linda Chin. And they are employees of the DHHL. And I'll read some of that. I'll answer this call first, but share with you some of the concerns. And they've, instead of filing lawsuits against the agency, Mr. Grace, chose to file against the land agents, and who is Linda Chin and Mr. Ward K. Young and John Doe. Now, I was able to finally obtain an actual signed copy of a statement given alleging or describing that Mr. Ward K. Young did in fact take money in his capacity as a land agent from a lessee. And I have other information as well. But I've also learned that through one of the other lessees of other properties, that Mr. Ward K. Young gave a certain lease while there was supposed to be a moratorium, and only on a handshake. And that individual went ahead and developed that land and put coal plane and is now storing a house, and we'll get with you on those details as well. But these are the people that contribute in their ways to the homelessness and the injustices, that, and that's what it is. So we can call it what we want, an injustice. We can put any word there, taking over their leases and mortgages and all, but the injustice or unjust acts are repeated over and over and over. And we are all now waking up to see a picture in the paper of the, quote, homeless. Go ahead, caller. Come in a question.
Yeah, just a question. The person who was singing Hawaii Aloha and having a discussion, was that Clyde Sproat?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I just recognize his voice. He is a Hawaiian treasure.
Yeah,
he's great.
Was an awesome, awesome man.
I unfortunately, I knew his relative, who was a helicopter pilot, who got killed 5 or 6 years ago, Kauai's throat. But Clyde, fantastic person.
Yeah, the treasure part is great, but I was able to go and meet and stay with him at his cabin and at his home there on Lupulu Point and down in the valley. And that's when I became familiar with what Hawaii really is about. And I cherish that opportunity for a lifetime, because he was right on the money. And, it was really good. And there are many other people here that have shared with me. And so that's where the fight come from. I know it's genuine. I know the people, the Hawaiian cause, the culture is genuine. It's just that we have trampled on it. We, as Americans and Canadians and anybody else that come to town.
Yeah, anyway, great to hear from him and hear him sing. I thought he had passed, but I'm glad he's still...
No, he passed. He passed.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Oh, he did? Then he did. Okay.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Anyway, happy Easter.
Thank you. Aloha. Anyway, this situation is getting better and better with the Hawaiian homeland. People are coming forward and reflecting that, and I've actually filed a complaint with the DHHL, and we'll see how far that goes. But no matter what goes on with the Hawaiian homes, I think this, unless I'm reading it wrong or gotten it wrong, generally you work with laws that are codified, and you might revise some, but at least they're codified. But to act as an institution and then now hurry to get the Hawaiian Homes Commission to ratify your actions. Ratification of actions taken by chairman, Hawaiian Homes Commission, statewide approval. That is absolutely, I'm just suspect. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not getting it right. And if I am wrong, please feel free to call me and let me know, because based on what I know in the English language and the small bit about law, I'm a little perplexed. But Uncle Joe, if you're there, give me a call back. I'd really like to get your opinion on this one, on this ratification, because this agenda is specifically itemizing the things that the commission is going to actually vote on. So this is where you guys, you the commission, has power. With a simple, beautiful, melodious hell no, we're not accepting this. This is where the commission gets to stand up and plug the puka, or plug the hole. Go ahead, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yes, I do. And of course, you know, like Uncle Joe, I'm a political junkie and have been since I was who knows how old. Anyway, this is an election year, and there's two people that stand to benefit or not from this. So I would start with calling the governor's office now. Flood his office. They take messages. Flood. Don't fool with Clayton and Malama. Go straight to the governor, because he is the one responsible for appointing her, and the buck stops with him. So, I mean, it's okay to call Malama. It's okay to call Clayton. But really, you know, if he gives a nod to this, it'll happen or it won't.
Right, right. Well,
and so that would be my, everybody that's listening, call him.
Yeah.
Call his office right now.
Well, we must understand something with this Hawaiian homelands and calling the governor is aware 100%. That's why he put puppet mastery number one. So, you know, don't be reluctant to call him, because, in fact, he knew and knows. That's why he picked her. She's handpicked. That's why they kicked out Michelle Kauhani. She, you know, she wasn't going to, I guess.
Wasn't playing the game. Who knows what the game is, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I again beg of those that came and testified. Well, you have a right to testify and support someone, but when massive amounts of people are being impacted in one single sweep of the ink pen, then you have an obligation to go back to the scene of the crime and ask.
Yes. That's why I'm saying call the governor, because he's the one that benefits. He's the one running for office. He's the one running statewide. Everybody gets to vote on him. And everybody should register to vote on Monday, and do vote, and let him know you're voting.
But
so
also,
that's all they answer to. That's all they care about.
Also, the Hawaiian Homes Commission or the Senate Committee and the House Committee. What are those guys doing? Hold on. Good morning, caller. Go ahead.
Uncle Joe?
Uncle Joe, already.
Marsha, you're right, but I tell you who better to call. Call the commissioner from your district. That's the ones. The power of Hawaiian Homes Commissions is not the commission. It's the people. If you take a chain of command from the top, the people or beneficiary is number one. The Hawaiian Homes Commission Act was made and developed for the people. Number two is the commission. The fiduciary responsibility of the commission is to carry out the code and the law of the act, and that is the beneficiary.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, direct the commissioner or the chair to carry out the wishes of the people. Number four, who is the same hat, the chair, directing the director to make sure the department carries out the wishes of the people. And at the bottom of this whole chain is the people receiving that which is due.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do we know who the commissioners are?
There's a list.
Which district?
If you go to...
Here you are, right here. Leimana De Mate, West Hawaii. Gene Ross, K. Davis, Molokai. Doreen Gomes, Maui. J. Connor Hopkins, Oahu.
Who will soon be replaced.
Wallace A. Ishibashi, as East Hawaii. Michael P. Kahikina, Oahu. Patricia Sheehan at Kauai. And Renwick V.I. Tassel on the show this morning, talking to you live.
Yes. Dear Uncle Joe. Now, who was going to be replaced, you said?
Uncle Joe?
Leimana De Mate from East Hawaii. No, West Hawaii, I'm sorry.
Right. She's going to be leaving?
Yep.
Okay.
And Kamala Hopkins? Kamala Hopkins was last month's fiasco about the wrong Richardson being appointed. Remember?
Right, that's right, right.
Well, he starts in June. Yeah. And I believe Leimana De Mate, she'll be ending hers. Richardson starts in July. Kamala Hopkins, his last meeting is in June. And then Leimana, her last meeting is also in June. And David Kaapu from Kona will be replacing her. He is an attorney. Go to the website, and there's a splash on him.
Okay. David Kaapu.
So what I'm saying is the person to call is the commission. Because above everything else, the commission rules. Now, what happened is, and this has happened ever since the inception of the Hawaiian Homes Commissions Act, all commissioners are appointed by the governor. I think we need to change that system.
Mm-hmm.
All commissioners, like trustees of the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, should be voted by the beneficiary and those that have qualified on the waiting list.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah. Hold on, Uncle Joe. Caller, good morning. Go ahead.
Hello?
Good morning. Go ahead.
This is almost Denise again. I'm thinking, hey, watch at Barber's Point. They've abused that area and give it back to the Hawaiians. You know, they get their own gated community, private airport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I can see parallels. Why pay somebody to fight you?
Right.
When you're the issue.
Yeah.
You know, we wouldn't be getting any static if they're doing their jobs for the people.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
You know, they're the ones that screw up, and then they're, well, wait a minute. Here, we've got somebody that we're going to put in front of you. They're going to listen to, sort of listen to you. You know, fill out all this paperwork. I mean, quite often, the paperwork is more than buying a house. And if anybody's out there who's purchased a house, you got stacks of paper. And really, everybody's busy of how much paper these organizations have pushed in front of them. In lieu of trade, and see how much it amounts to.
Yeah. Okay.
Really, when were these commissions put in and people are going further back. I know I am.
Yeah.
You know, and it's obvious a reflection of the system.
Yeah.
You know, to do everything right. Now, I am a good person.
Mm-hmm.
To do everything right. Put my trust in them that they do their jobs correctly. And all you out there listening to me that's gone to some stupid office and had to listen to somebody tell you something that you know is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Follow their line and still have the word no stamped on your forehead.
Yeah.
Well, Denise, I would ask if you, as soon as you finish this call, you call the governor's office.
I have some real...
No, I meant leave a message today about these evictions.
Oh, okay.
Just leave the message. Say, you know, the buck stops with him. He appointed these commissioners. The buck stops with him.
Yeah.
Thank you, Denise.
Right,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
Uncle Joe, go ahead.
Well, you know, the paper trail, and I'm talking about all that paper that you got to sign that Denise is talking about. She's absolutely right. But that paper trail is purposely to discourage the individual, because we don't come from a paper society. We come from an oral society, you know? And that paper trail is to discourage you. The wait is to discourage you. Cannot do nothing. So this is how the conversation goes after waiting 30 and 40 years. Hi, Mrs. Kamaka. Yes. This is Hawaiian Homes. Oh, yeah. You finally got your lease. Huh? You finally got your lease. Oh, no. Oh, my God. I've been waiting 40 years for this. Well, we got to figure out if you're financially sound, huh? 40 years ago, I was financially sound, not today. Well, what about your children? My children? 40 years ago, I wanted to do this for my children, and now you ask me to get my children to help me? What's wrong with that picture? Well, come down anyway. We're trying to see what we can do.
Right.
And you know, 3 years later, Mrs. Kamaka, you haven't paid your mortgage. We're going to have to evict you. What?
Yep.
That's the nature of the conversation.
Yeah. Welcome to the death chamber of DHHL.
Sonny Cunningham was a classic example of that.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the first to be arrested on Hawaiian homelands when we occupied Waimea on the Big Island with Sonny Cunningham? Yes. No sooner Sonny gets his lease, he signs his son as the successor, and Sonny passes on. Now I'm working with Sonny's cousin, also faced with the same nature and the same problems, also on the Big Island. But as a commissioner, mind you, as a commissioner, my fiduciary responsibility is the people first, not the governor, not the director.
Well, we've done stories on the actual boarding up of houses,
yes,
and abandoned, and the excuses that the Hawaiian homes give. I mean, why would they board up a home and then say the people can't afford it, and then...
Well, you know what's the sad thing about the boarded home, right?
Mm-hmm.
deterioration.
Right.
You know who moves in, right? Not the homeless.
Yeah.
Cockroaches, ants, termites, etc., and the home slowly depletes. And before you know it, it's falling apart. We went to Nanakuli, the haunted house.
Right.
Yeah, we went to Nanakuli. Classic example. What did they do? They came in with the bulldozer, put the house away so that it wouldn't be an eyesore.
Yeah.
Yeah, bought it homes, and oh my God, on and on and on and on and on. And that's the reason why I'm. This is the other thing. Yeah, this is the other thing. Marcia, you correct me if I'm wrong, Marcia, okay?
Yes, I'm here.
Now, according to the Democratic way of holding a meeting, when a motion is made on the floor and it's seconded and discussion takes place and there is no more discussion to be toward the motion, a vote will take place. And if it's a roll call vote, who is the last person to be called?
The last person to be called. Let me pull out my Robert's rules here. The last person to be called. I don't know. I'll have to pull out Robert's rules. Okay, you tell me.
The chair.
Oh, well, I started to say the chair, but I thought I'd better look.
Oftentimes, it's the first thing that comes into our mind that is the proper answer, the chair. And a classic example of that is when there is a vote on the congressional floor as well as the legislative floor, the chairs of each house is the last to be called.
And the president of the whatever is the break of tie.
Yes. They are the swing vote, not the sway vote.
Mm-hmm.
When that chair is the first to be called, it becomes the sway vote.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the chair is voting that way. I guess I'm going to...
I better go that way, yeah.
He knows better than me. I'm not up on the subject, so I'm going to vote with the chair.
But also, the governor gets to appoint the chair.
Well,
and then the governor gets to appoint the director of the agency.
And the director and the chair is the same person.
Well,
so where is it? Here. It's right at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So you hear what I'm saying, right?
Right.
And that's why I am saying today...
The chair is a swing vote, not a sway vote.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to remember that.
But also, in many instances, and I know that it's... I wouldn't want to put you on the spot and ask you to elaborate on something that's on an agenda... But these comments are simple. There's this ratification, and you'll have to be presented and vote on it. But I've never heard of anything, you know, let's, here are the rules, Ms. Kamaka. And for years, every Hawaiian has been operating and trying to meet deadlines because these are the rules. And now all of a sudden, hell breaks loose, and, oh, we need to ratify those rules.
At the end, is that what you're saying? Now they're going to have ratification on the rules.
Yeah, that's one of the items.
40 years later.
That's one of the items. They want F5 and F6, all of their actions, ratification of defaults and revocation statewide, ratification of actions taken by Chairman Hawaiian Homes Commission statewide. So that put you guys on the spot, Uncle Joe. It says that...
Yes, because we're the power of the commission. We are the power of the commission, not the chair.
Yeah, well, listen.
Although the chair is part of the commission, it's the commissioners, not the commissioner.
Yeah.
Well, my question, Uncle Joe, is if they evict 160-some people tomorrow, where do they go?
On the agenda, to my understanding, it only has to do with two specific TMKs, and they're both on the Big Island at this point in time. But there is a listing of a number of questions that we're addressing right now. The conversation is addressing right now. And it came up last month at last month's meeting, and just by chance, I had a beneficiary
who had come to me to find out what would be the best thing that I can do to save my home. And I asked that beneficiary, what do you want to do? She said, you know, Uncle, I'm a nationalist, and this is what I want to do. I don't want to pay. And I said, okay, you may choose that. And then went off to talk with another nationalist, and the nationalist asked her same question, what do you want to do? Well, I want to save my home. So the other nationalist, very well established in the community, knows what's going on, has gone through the United Nations a number of times, and just a bit away from rebuilding the nation, told her, then pay. She came to the department with, in fact, she drove me to the department for the commission meeting last month. And she had check in hand. She was ready to save her home from being, from the family being evicted. And you know what?
They didn't accept it.
Oh, because it was not a, what do you call that, when you go to the post office and make that check?
Money order.
Money order. Because it was in the money order, they couldn't accept it. But the next day she went back with the money order in there. And everything is, and she was one of the, of that list. She was on that list.
Well, listen, Uncle Joe, there's a lady called in the last hour and said there were 161 people being evicted tomorrow somewhere along the Y&I post. What do you know about that?
in 5F on the agenda, was that 5F, Carol?
Yes, I'm here.
5F, right?
Right, 5F.
Yeah, ratification, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's only two things that's listed on that 5F, and both of them are on the Big Island. So it doesn't have to do with the list.
And then what is
my understanding?
F6 is another ratification of actions taken.
It's listed on page 131.
Okay.
Let me check it for sure. Page 131.
But I'm saying that what is going on, this lady was very sure that these evictions were going to happen tomorrow. And so I just wanted to know what that was about. And that's what we were asking people to call the governor to put a halt to whatever this is tomorrow.
That's part and partial of and what you're doing is you're helping the commission by making that phone call. Here, F5. Okay, now you said on F6?
F6 is the ratification of actions taken by Chairman, Hawaiian Homes Commission, statewide.
Okay. I'm looking at that right now.
And D8 is ratification of designation of a successor to leasehold interest and designation of person to receive net proceeds. So there's a couple of three at least. But anyway, rather interesting how matters are handled there at the Hawaiian Homes. They seem to have rules, apparently, that don't matter. And that is something George Grace actually raised the issue on that, and as well as Chad Suarez raised those issues, saying that the actual rules that they were using, right?
Yes.
Is just simply no good.
Okay, I see what you're talking about. Well, you know, it's a funny thing. I don't really remember this being discussed at the table.
Really?
Yep.
That's nothing new, is it? That's
no.
They tend to do what they want to do. It's there's rules and then there's their rules.
Okay.
So my question is, again is about this thing tomorrow. With 161 families, that seems like an awful lot not to be on the agenda someplace.
Okay.
Anyway, if you can't, you're looking for F6, but...
I'm looking at it right now. F6.
So, for example, petitioner, here's George Grace's petition. This is just one. Petitioner respectfully requests that the commission issue a stay of any cease and desist enforcement. And he goes on, the original actions by the Department of Hawaii and Homelands on the issuance of revocable permit was in accordance with 2042 of the Hawaiian Homes Commission Act of 1920 as amended. The revocable permits offered and issued by the department were specifically issued according to Hawaii Revised Statute Section 171-55, but the application process and approval had to comply with the law and rules, regulations, and identical to those as found in the Department of Land and Natural Resources. And the rules, Title 13, Rules of Practice and Procedure, and had to be adopted according to HRS 91. Three. None were ever adopted by the commission, such as the Department of Land and Natural Resources. And it goes on. So these are the kinds of things that the agency have been taking action, hounding and pounding the beneficiaries unjustly, and now they want the commission to come ahead and give ordain or give a blessing to the actions they take after the fact.
Well, you know, I think I personally think I didn't see my newspaper yet. I've been ever since I got up. I've been on this radio, and I haven't looked at my newspaper. You mentioned something about the newspaper.
There's a large article, front page actually, and has a body. A human being laying there, I guess, and kids playing in the sand, scooping up sand, and, you know, this unsightly, I guess, what it is, you know, the tourists are bothered that people...
Well, a woman from California said she, or Canada, whatever,
Canada. She said
she'll have to find somewhere else to go because the homeless are unsightly. My question then becomes...
They're very simple, go home.
Yeah, well, that was my... thought too, but the question becomes: if this is unsightly, why are we adding 161 more families to that?
Well, before we get into that, Marcia, going back to the, I really got to go in depth with you in this. This is what I want to focus on. I want to focus on the letters sent to the department in regards to. Linda Chin and Darrell Young.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's more of a pressing issue than this is.
And you mean Kalei Young or Ward? Ward or Darrell?
I'm sorry. What's his Hawaiian name?
Kalei Young.
Yeah. Kalei Young.
That's the complaint where the lawsuit was filed against them.
Yes. For a white envelope. I think that's more a pressing issue than the F6, and the reason why is because it has to do with what's happening in the department, and F6 can hold.
Right.
I'm gonna call for that. And I'm hoping that we have enough people there to side with me, because I believe if that has been going on, how long has that been going on? At whose expense? And now I remember a discussion about holdover and rolledover.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, I'm sorry. Holdover and bendover.
Yes.
Yes, hold over and bend over, having to do removal of that. I think that's more important.
Right.
The removal of the hazardous material.
How'd
that hazardous material get there in the first place?
Calcium hydroxide. Well, that brings in a whole different game.
And that's the reason why I'm saying that's more pressing than evicting people out of their homes.
Mm-hmm.
If that ratification is such.
Right. Well, the white powder or the calcium hydroxide originated from the generator was road and highway builders, who we've talked about many times, have gotten special treatment in getting permits, and even in this instance, the state health department. By the way, they just resolved this day before yesterday. It finally found the last load being dumped in the Waimanawa Gulch landfill. But the health department and the DHHL, as much as you saw in the newspaper about George Grace and how horrible he was and what a bad person he was and polluting the environment and contaminating the lake, Ordy Pond, and this, if you read and see what was said about George, you think we should just take him out back and do him in, you know, get him. He's a minister of society. But I ask, why then did Kalei Young, the Department of Health, the Department of Hawaiian Homelands, Darryl Young, and all of those people not see 13 tons of calcium hydroxide
as it is
just sitting on Hawaiian homelands, and to ignore it, you would have had to put blinders on, and while they were pounding George Grace, and I asked John Bond and Mike Lee and those people that were fanning the flames the TV stations that were portraying George as this horrendous human being. Where were you when the real polluters were there? You see, we haven't seen any. The newspaper didn't. Rob Perez didn't fly. He didn't call the Inquirer. But I guess that's the nature of the beast. The KGMB did a story and have been on top of it. But the question is, how then do you not punish? And this gentleman that brought it in for road and highway builders has been on this property, two pieces of property, and there's some serious questions about him even paying. And by the way, he was one of the DHHL referred Uncle Joe as the holdover. But you want to know what's funny? He didn't know that he was considered a holdover. You see, this is how they'll lie and do say anything.
So he didn't pay his bill?
No.
And how long has that been going on?
A couple of years going on there.
People say when our people don't pay the bill, they get evictions? And
no, they first they go and take their fingers, put rubber gloves on, and then check to see the DNA, and then check the criminal background and do all that. Then they, you know, but for the non-Hawaiians, it's say nothing, do nothing, and let them continue to operate.
It's bend over.
Yeah, but in this case, now, mind you, while he does not have receipts that he's paid any money, and he openly admits that he hadn't paid, he's in the arrears on his lease, he was given an authorization to hook up water on property. Because in order to get water, you have to request it from the Navy out there in that area. And you need permission from the DHHL. So Kalei Young had no problem giving authorization to this gentleman, Floyd Carnes of FCS, to get his water hooked up while knowing he was in the arrears of his payment. Does that make sense? And this is the same word that the individual, and this gentleman also has said that he's given money in favors to Kalei Young as well.
So I hear that there is a one paper trail.
Yeah.
called the white envelope, and no paper trail called receipt, and I mean called invoice and receipt.
Right. So you, when you stand back and you look at this and you say, well, this is just George Grace and his issue. This is Chad Suarez and his issue. This is Noel. And no, it's a system, an institution that seems to be broken. And just for coincidence, maybe in Hawaii we're careful not to issue the racist word or use it and incorporate it in our sentences. But something unique about this, the people that are receiving the brunt of the stupidity and the wrongdoing and the unjust treatment
are the beneficiaries.
The beneficiaries, and that's the commonality. The non-road and highway builders, they, you know, I have emails where they are ordering Carnes, directing Carnes to clean it up, but you don't see the state mentioning anything. In fact, the state did not know that Carnes had moved the material in back into his yard because the landfill refused it and rejected the second two loads. So he went to that second property and then...
Well, am I to understand that it's still on Hawaiian homelands?
No, it's been shipped out and dumped into the Waimanalo Gulch landfill.
So now it becomes a people problem.
Well, yeah. And so, now to mind you now, the state says... it's really hazardous if you put water on it, right?
Oh, my God.
Well, guess what they allowed him to do? They allowed him to take...
You mean to say that water they were shooting they were loading it?
Well, that's one incident. But what I'm saying to you is that the landfill rejected the other two but told him he had to process them. And the processing was to go and put water on them to make them hard like a cake. And in turn, they would. He took them to his yard, and this is a gentleman that had worked with me. And I asked him, "Where did they go?" "Oh, I don't know. Someone took them. I don't know where they are." Well, I contacted the hauling company, and they informed me, "Oh, they're in his yard." Well, I look over the fence, and guess what? Here's water running out of the containers, and all on the ground. Now I called the state health department. They came out. They look, said, "Oh, yeah, he can't do that." They knock on his door. He didn't answer. They saw him, and they say, "Well, because he didn't answer the door, we're not going to do anything. We'll come back Monday." But now on George Grace, they went and got a search warrant. Right?
So
kind of like the old question is, why are there so many people of color in jail and the whites don't get sent in the same ratio, same number?
Oh, boy.
You know, so why is it that a Hawaiian beneficiary gets a search warrant and articles destroying his character, but over here, the DHHL says nothing, they're not in the news about it, they say nothing, and there's questions about if he's paying under the table and hadn't gotten any rent or lease, you follow?
Oh, boy.
And to add insult to injury, he was subleasing. But as he said his story...
There needs to be a federal investigation.
Well, yeah, I guess so. But anyway, this is the... what is it it's related to? Because the homeless issues, because the system is so badly broken and corrupt that it will never, ever be suitable for incorporating the concerns of the native people. Because if they were a bona fide entity that had the concerns of the people, we could see them incorporating their work in reducing at least the homelessness for the native people. But we don't see that.
Well, last year, last session, Senator Gilbert Kahele from the Big Island asked the DHHL Homeland asked her if all that land on the Big Island, if the state put in the infrastructure, could she allow the people to put up tents or anything to just get them on the land? And she looked at him and said no.
Yeah. Hold on one second. Caller, go ahead and come in a question. Caller.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead with the comment. We got two more minutes.
Yeah. You know, what you folks are talking about is so pertinent. And, you know, this is a crisis, a huge social crisis. And of course, it's affecting the Native Hawaiians more than anything. And you know, if this was a tsunami or a hurricane, things would be happening in rapid order, you know, at least to give them immediate housing and everything like that. This has been going on for decades, a long time. How are we going to get these people to feel ashamed about themselves, to understand whenever I go to testify at the legislature or the city council, they just kind of stare at you like, oh, what's the problem, you know? I got my air-conditioned car, my air-conditioned house, and my air-conditioned office, and everything looks good. I got a parking space and everything like that. So what's the matter with you guys?
Well, look at the story on Romy Cachola and recently about his using the money for the cars. Look at them all. And that's a whole different show, but the reality is unless we start holding people accountable and naming names. Miley Shimabukur is a wonderful person. I mean, if you meet her, the greatest person, you could never say no. But the problem is she's a chairman of the Hawaiian Homes Commission or the Senate. Hawaiian Affairs. And never been to a Hawaiian Commission meeting.
Yeah. What they do is they be polite to each other. They're always polite and they like to make... And in the meantime, there are all kinds of people that are suffering terribly.
But then on the other hand, you know that Sandwich Isle Communication has a sole or one of the major providers of communications on Hawaiian homeland. There are issues there, but that's how can you ever bring a hearing on that when Clayton Heath's brother is involved in it? So
there you go.
So it's just not about the Canadians coming here and saying I'm offended. It's about this entire culture of the haves and haves not, the bourgeois and the ones that are were native before and still native.
Things are nice. So why do we have to? I got my everything. So why? What's the problem? You bums down there in the park, yeah.
Anyway, real quick, Uncle Joe, we got 1 minute left. And,
Marsha, 664-6901.
Wait a minute.
664-6901.
Okay.
And then,
I'm sorry, I messed that one up. Real quick, say it again, one last time.
664-6901.
Okay,
Marsha, your minute is up. No.
Okay, bye.
Hey, thank you, Carol, and I'm going to try to do my best.
All righty. Marsha, you there?
Yep.
Okay, well, thank you, guys, and maybe it'll work out.
But it will.
It'll work out.
We're not going to let it go.
Let's call it what it is. It's so those that are
found.
Okay, well, aloha, and thank you, guys.
Thank you. Aloha.
As you know, you can pick this up at carolcox.com, carolcox.com.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind.
Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.